We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis, and I want to remind the listeners, not just the host of Radio Entrepreneurs, but also chairman of the board and founder of Mage LLC, management consulting firm. He's giggling beside me is my co-host. I don't know what I said wrong. He's probably thinking of the joke he did in another segment, throwing me under the bus, and that's John Dustin, the very infinitely qualified and talented John Dustin of JED Insurance.
Thank you, Jeff. Happy to be back.
Well, you ready to throw me under the bus again?
I didn't throw you under the bus. It was retaliation in the employment world. We call that retaliation.
Okay. Well, you know, here's a guest we want to thank Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing for. Mark sent us to someone I've known directly, indirectly, not really directly, indirectly for many years, Bill, William, and McLaughlin from Avalon Bay Communities. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
Great to be here, too. Tell our listeners who don't know anything about Avalon Bay what it's all about.
Well, Avalon Bay is a publicly traded real estate investment trust, and we focus on the apartment segment of the real estate business. We are probably the second largest apartment REIT in the S&P 500. We have about 85,000 apartments and about a $30 billion market cap. We operate in the coastal markets on the East Coast from Boston to Washington and on the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego. Again, focus exclusively on high-end rental properties.
Did you start the business?
I have been there for almost 23 years. I missed the IPO by about 6 months. I was actually the first...
Timing is everything.
First hire thereafter, or one of the first hires thereafter. My boss, who became the CEO, a guy named Bryce Blair, hired me to replace him as the local development guy in Boston.
Well, after he hit the jackpot.
Moved up the food chain. Yes,
right,
exactly.
Right. Interesting. So what was your experience before being there?
I was at another sizable development company, Lincoln Property Company, out of Dallas, Texas.
Right.
And I was the junior peon in the Boston office. I actually think that was my title, junior peon. Mm-hmm. And I had been there for about 6 years prior to joining Avalon. And prior to that, I was a commercial broker for a very brief period of time at the old Coble Banker Commercial Real Estate Services.
Remember that, too. Yeah,
right out of college. So I've done real estate.
So it's real estate's in your blood.
Yeah, I actually bought a six-family rent-controlled property my senior year at Harvard and moved into it from my dorm. And it was a rundown, classic rent-control mess.
And how old were you when you did that?
22.
What'd your parents say?
21, actually. I was 21. My father co-signed the loan, God bless him. Otherwise, we wouldn't
have a risk taker.
Yeah, you know what? And he had said, he was an attorney. He had a bunch of real estate clients over the years, and I always expected I'd go to law school like everyone in my family had. And I started to watch what he did for a living versus what his clients did. His clients had big boats, and they had the weekends off, and you know he was always working on something on Sunday mornings. And so I decided I'd rather be a client than an attorney. And I told him I was interested in real estate. This was the mid-'80s. Things were hot back
booming.
Then.
Booming.
Booming market. Booming market for single family Massachusetts.
Made me enough money on my condo to buy into a management consulting firm that I was starting.
Well, there you go.
Right? Till about 90.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right.
Timing was everything, as it always is.
So, you know, and they were giving money away at the bank. So U.S. Trust, which was a great bank in its day, gave me 120% loan to value or something on this house. Because, again, my father had signed the loan. And I had an older brother and a cousin who were my partners. And we moved in, and it went from being in a tired old Cambridge rent control place
to a frat house.
Frat house, yeah, exactly. But a lot of sweat equity, and I actually still own, we converted the building years later, I still own one of the units over there.
Wow.
Right outside Harvard Square. It's great, on Ellery Street. Great property.
Wow. What makes Avalon Bay Communities unique? Do you have a unique way of looking at what you do?
We used to have a unique strategy with respect to markets. We were in the Sexy Six. Which we considered the high barrier to entry, Boston, Washington, New York, Seattle, San Francisco, and L.A. And a lot of other firms have copied our capital allocation model, which is to be in these coastal markets where there's a high degree of education for the workforce and, frankly, very high home prices, which give you a ceiling for your rents. So as these others have copied us, we have moved into or continued to differentiate ourselves through development. And so we do most of our portfolio has been organically ground up developed by Avalon Bay. So we find the sites, we design them, we go through the local zoning process, then we oversee the construction and we oversee the operations. We are vertically integrated in terms of how the process works, and we end up building assets. We have one here in Natick, one in Framingham right behind us, which are exactly what we want. High-end, new product tends to have a higher value than a lot of the older stuff.
From a regulatory standpoint, I know Martha Coakley was overseeing REITs heavily in Massachusetts. You are publicly traded. How does that affect your accounting? And
well, I think, you know, remember the old commercial where they had it was a salami company or something, and they it was Hebrew National.
Hebrew National.
Hebrew National, and they answered to a higher authority. We answered to a higher authority.
The SEC, yeah.
In terms of the SEC. Yeah. We have... you know, that there is a cost to being a public company, mm-hmm. Sarbanes Oxley type stuff, mm-hmm. That is really forcing firms to reach for scale, because it is a fixed cost that's brutal. And so a smaller firm has to go through the exact same steps.
Professional fees, you're talking.
Yeah,
about.
Professional fees, oversight. But be that as it may, you know, I think we have one of our other strategic advantages, I think, is our strong balance sheet. We've mm-hmm. really been careful keeping an eye on how we match fund our activities on the other side of the balance sheet by making sure that we are, you know, we're of the $30 billion, I think we have $6 billion of debt. So we're the opposite of what most people are in real estate, which is 80% levered.
Yeah.
We're 20% levered.
And your consistent returns for the investors, pretty much?
Well, it's a capital allocation goal to outperform the market, mm-hmm. Both by being in the right markets, by adding the value through development, by trading in and out of assets over time. And so our core FFO, which is the measurement of REIT income, has been at the top of the group in terms of its growth rate. And we think it's fairly safe based on our leverage level. I think we may be the only REIT that didn't cut our dividend in the financial crisis. Mm. And we've had great dividend growth over the years. And that's what a lot of people own a REIT for.
Well, you know, in the last month or so, I've had more people talk to me about a changing real estate market, mortgage market, interest rate market than anything else in business. It seems to be the most predominant conversation I have outside. Are you anticipating a lot of changes yourself over the next year or so?
Well, it was, I think, one of the byproducts of the election that surprised folks was how quickly rates went up. The 10-year went up very quickly from election night on, and therefore the mortgage rates followed. And just anecdotally, my son, who is an entrepreneur in Watertown, owns a batting cage franchise, bought a two-family in Watertown. And we locked in the loan the day of the election, the day after the election, at 3.5. That same loan is 4.4 today. You know, it's a jumbo, it's a two-family, it's owner-occupied. So, you know, there are a lot of issues that make it a little bit harder loan to get. And if you're counting on the income from the other apartment to pay your mortgage, it's a huge swing in value. So I expect mortgage rates will end up closer to 5.
Which is cheap money still.
Still cheap money on a historic basis.
But not if you were paying 3.
Yeah,
but
right.
Well, what it does is it taps the brakes on, you know, the $800,000 ranch, mm-hmm. or what have you. I mean, it's you know, we've on the coast, we've got such high prices for housing that it really does put a damper on that first time buyer, I think.
I'm sorry, you go first.
I was going to say, from a macro perspective, we watch the economy a little bit in my firm because it affects both business payroll, sales, and home buying, which is a large part of what we do.
Sure.
But what's funny is that rate increase was announced even in advance of the election. It was coming.
It was coming.
Go ahead.
You know, I've always done better. I've been in business 32 years in a bad economy. You know, when people are making money, it's sort of like Belichick's philosophy. When you're winning, people think they're smarter than they are. Yeah. So when the economy is going up, but when the economy is going down, people get scared and they think, if somebody can help me not go down, maybe even go up in a down economy, they're more willing to listen. They're more humbled in a bad economy.
He's inverse of the rest of the world.
No, so I've always done. I've always had my best growth in the bad economies. And
That's great.
It's flattened out over the years. But what I've heard recently is that and I don't like a bad economy either way. I mean, I've been in business no matter what. I prefer to make money on my money, because I don't make money outside of my business as well. But what I've heard is that in real estate is that people are now looking at their makeup of their portfolio a lot different. That, you know, that now they're going to be looking for more troubled properties than they would have, let's say, 2-3 years ago. Problem properties.
Yeah,
this is not you, but
no,
that's others.
Probably right. No, there certainly is. You get to a point in the cycle like we've been, where it's been 6 or 8 really good years. Certainly in the multifamily world, it's been that way. starts to feel a little long in the tooth. And it seems as though everyone and his brother is in our business these days. Everything seems to be priced for perfection. And if you have a little hiccup, you're going to see some readjustment and some dislocation. I think New York and San Francisco are seeing that right now. Like fashion, what happens in California first, then goes to New York, and then spreads among the rest of us, that's likely to continue, I think. What we see is the opportunity to use that balance sheet that I described, sort of keeping our powder dry, so that when there is some dislocation, as long as we're patient, we can jump in and get some opportunity. The very best business I did, and my group did, was 09 and 10, when construction costs were way down, land prices were down, cities and towns were looking for rateable growth, and it just and it was before anyone else jumped in the game. And now everything we look at just gives me a nosebleed.
And it's funny, the cycles, because we see in our little business that we do, when everything starts going up, you have carpenters that want to become general contractors and flip homes, and realtors who are going to stop selling because they're going to buy property and make them investment properties. Just to your point, when things are going well, everybody's trying to look to become a real estate entrepreneur.
Or just grow their business beyond what the expectations would be. I did a top 10 list years ago for the Greater Boston Real Estate Board at a panel, top 10 list of reasons why we're at the peak of the market. And one of them was that every electrician I know has a bigger boat than I do.
No. Interesting flaws. It sounds like something my father would say.
Sorry.
No, he used to say stuff like that to me about different things. I won't get into it. It's not about me. But Bill, great having you on the show. I wish we could do more interviews. Hope you'll come back again. You got me really spinning. If somebody wants to learn more about Avalon Bay Communities, how would they find out about it?
Well, we have regional offices in all the cities I mentioned. Our headquarters is down in Arlington, Virginia. We have a fantastic website that is user-friendly for both prospective residents as well as investors. We have a great investor relation department. All that, it's avalonbay.com. Really, really easy to navigate your way around.
Great. John? Interesting. You like this stuff because you do a lot of insurance with real estate, right?
Yeah. This is interesting to me.
I'm sure it is. It's right up your alley. So that's John Dustin from JED Insurance. My name is Jeffrey Davis from Radio Entrepreneurs and Mage. I want to thank Bill McLaughlin from Avalon Bay for coming in today. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you.